Hey, Jim, I just got a copy of the BIP Colony Loss Survey for last year. Have you seen it yet?
Kim, I have seen that. I've been studying that and trying to review it. It takes some time to get through that, but it's good information.
It is. And there's some things in there that I found more interesting this year than in previous ones. And let's take a quick look at it. Hi, I'm Kim Flottam.
And I'm Jim Tew.
And this is Honeybee Obscura. And today we're going to talk about the BIP, that's the Bee Informed Partnership, Annual Colony Loss Survey. It just came out, and I think if you're at all interested in the industry you're a part of, you should probably take a look at it too.
It is a great source of information.
You are listening to Honeybee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honeybee Obscura, hosts Kim Flottam and Jim Tew explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world in an engaging and informative discussion meant for all beekeepers, long-timers, and those just starting their journey with bees. So sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
No disrespect at all to BIP. You study now because it's good numbers and they're useful numbers and they relate to each other.
Yeah, and it's kind of across the board. And, everybody wants to know what's the worst thing that happened last year? How many colonies did we lose? And there's a point of clarification that needs to be made here right at the very beginning, Jim. We haven't lost these colonies because they've all been replaced. Beekeepers lose a colony and they replace it by a split, buying a nuke or a package.
Right.
So when we say colony losses, what we're actually referring to is colony turnovers. And that's how BIP wants us to look at this. It's the colonies didn't leave and go away and not come back. The colonies left and were replaced. So what we ended up at the end of the year pretty much reflects what was there at the beginning of the year.
I have no idea if it's like forestry, but it's like you take out part of the trees in your woodlot, let the others come back, and you're always regrowing trees and taking trees out. So it's not like you're clear cutting, you're managing.
Yeah, pretty much. The number that people are looking for, though, comes out to how many people were surveyed? Because that's going to reflect on some of the data that's here. And then how many colony turnovers were there last year? Those are the two numbers that people are really interested in, that I was really interested in. They had just over 3,300 beekeepers in the U.S. take the survey, running about 192,000 colonies, which comes to about 7% of the estimated 2.71 million managed honey-producing colonies in the country. So that's the base that we're working on. We're making all of these numbers based on that population of beekeepers running that population of bees. All right?
You know, that's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? Because on one hand, 7% means that 93% were not there. But on the other hand, since these numbers are so large, bigger than I can comprehend, that 7% represents almost 200,000 colonies. That's a lot of beehives.
Yeah, it is.
So if you look at the whole country, 2.71 million managed colonies, I mean, that's a lot of beehives piled up in one place. This turmoil of, generating, dying, replacing, turning over. There's a lot of action going on. Those are big numbers.
I know that there are more colonies in California during almond pollination than got worked into this survey, which is both unfortunate, and at least it gives you a feel for the size of the population we're dealing with. And here's the thing. They measured these turnovers in winter and summer. And how many colonies do you lose in the summer?
You know, Kim, I saw that, and I lose colonies in the summer, but this is unusual. It's rare. It's neglect on my part. It's a queen that died, and I didn't get back in time. But I saw that they monitored summer losses.
Well, the thing that interested me the most was that summer losses for commercial beekeepers in this survey had over 40% of turnover for their summer losses. 40%.
40% in that commercial category, and the hobbyists and the sideline beekeepers were like me. What's happening? Well, clearly those commercial guys are moving, working, using those beehives throughout the summer, and mine are not being exposed to those risks at that time.
And then you take a look at winter losses, and that's where I've always expected, the worst survivorship.
Yeah, that's when I have my finest hour, Kim. My finest hour for bee kills is winter.
32% of the bees that were surveyed turned over in the winter. That's commercial and sideline and hobby. 30%. And most beekeepers are looking at an acceptable loss of about 20%. So it's higher than most people think is acceptable, but overall, 30% is not bad in terms of what the things that we're going through.
You know, you just have to love beekeepers, don't you? Because I'm saying that, well, if the rates die off about 35%, then I'd be happy with 20%. Well, if the rate were 20% die off, I'd probably be happy with 7%. So I'm wanting to keep adjusting that number downward slightly. But the bottom line, Kim, is this. We have accepted the fact that a lot of our bees die every year, and they've always died every year. I've always known that the colony numbers in my little apiary are relative numbers. When someone says, how many hives do you have? I'll say whatever number it is, 15, 20. But I'll know at any given moment it's 18, maybe 22. So it's always an average. There's going to always be some that are living and dying and thriving and not thriving.
Yeah, my answer is always, at the moment, I have. Yeah.
at this moment, to my knowledge, I think I probably have. You weasel word that number every time because all over the world, that number varies, especially in areas where those bees migrate.
Better Bee is pleased to sponsor today's episode of Honey Bee Obscura podcast. For over 40 years, Better Bee has supplied beekeepers across the country with the tools, equipment, and knowledge needed to succeed. Because many Better Bee employees are beekeepers themselves, they understand your needs and challenges and are better prepared to answer your beekeeping questions. From their colorful catalog to their support of beekeeper educational activities, including this podcast, Better Bee truly lives up to their tagline of beekeepers serving beekeepers. See for yourself at betterbee.com.
The other thing that shows up here is the annual loss of all of these groups, backyard, sideline, and commercial. And backyard beekeepers this year kind of had a bad year. It's almost 60% annual loss. Now, that's summer and winter and everything in between combined. They're all replaced. But if you got to replace 6 out of 10 colonies, how many years are you going to do that? I know that there's somebody in everybody's household who's listening to this that says, I thought we were going to make money doing this.
Yep, I know those people. I know them well, Kim.
So you begin to look at 60% turnover every year, and it's money out and money out and money out and money out, and then maybe a little money in, but it's got to be tough. The big picture's got to be tough.
I don't speak for anyone. I am not necessarily in that 7%, but what that perpetual die-off effect has been on me is I have reduced my colony numbers. When I was a younger man, I had my brothers and I had 400 hives, and I probably have 15 right now. As it has become so difficult to keep bees alive and expensive to buy them, I just keep fewer and fewer colonies. And I'm not the only one doing that.
You know, the thing about that is you lose 20% of 50 colonies. That's the number. That's 10. You lose 20% of 5 colonies. You know, you've lost far fewer colonies.
Oh, right.
But the percentage is the same.
Yep.
So you gotta work that into how you digest this data here.
It's really interesting numbers. You know, the main thing this whole 13-page report did, Kim, is it reassured me that I'm not alone here, that my numbers and my experience and my abilities is not unique. I mean, I'm surrounded by people who are fighting the same battle and losing it about as often as I am.
There's comfort in numbers, huh?
There's comfort in misery. Forget the numbers. So it's really an interesting read that goes through this whole thing.
Another thing I was looking at was the numbers by state. They got the U.S. map here, and they've got the numbers by state. And you know the old rule that most of the beekeepers in the U.S. are east of the Mississippi, and most of the bees are west of the Mississippi. When you look at the numbers west of the Mississippi, the percentage loss, they range anywhere from like 20 to 50. When you look at the range of the colonies east of the Mississippi, they range, the numbers are generally much higher. But is that because there are more beekeepers, so you got more numbers, you were able to get more numbers? Or is that because the numbers, the losses in the east were higher? And I'm thinking East Coast beekeepers are going to probably be more on the sideline to hobby range than the sideline to commercial range. And on the West Coast, on West, there, where out West, there's a lot more commercial beekeepers because there's more land. And you and I are in Ohio. We had a 40.6% loss last year.
Yep. And we're surrounded. Michigan had 51%. I have to agree with you, Kim, that we're going to be careful here. What? Can I say more inexperience? More, because these commercial guys, they do this for a living. They do this every day. I mean, going out working bees isn't a hobby. This is something they do for a living. So they're really in tune with it. I suppose that's what it is. Is it simply because there's more people, so there's better data? These are all BIP questions, Kim.
Yeah. I'd like to see the numbers of respondents per state. That would tell a lot, I think. And there is, there'll be on our webpage links to this report. And when all of this data is put together in a publishable paper that'll be subject to review, that'll come out later, probably early next year is our guess. But when that comes out, you'll be able to go get that also and then take a hard look at good data, at as good as it's going to get, that's been assessed and evaluated. So look for those links on our webpage so you can get this report when it's ready.
Kim, I want to say that's good information, Kim, because these are hard numbers to follow. I mean, I can imagine someone sitting in their car right now trying to follow what percent happened here and what percent happened there. But this is good digestible information. This is good to know. This is good to project what your costs are going to be, what your labor input's going to be. This makes you a better beekeeper if you have an idea of where you've been, where you are, and where you can expect to go based on the trend line that this data develops.
Yeah, I guess if you can expect to lose 40% of your bees every year, do you increase the number of bees that you have? So a 40% loss, you know, doesn't do anything? Or do you always have 40% in the back of your mind someplace ready to go? I got nukes yep. sitting there or whatever.
Well, I think about that beekeeper that you and I've always talked to, that hypothetical beekeeper. What am I doing wrong? You know, 40%, half my bees have died. What am I doing wrong? Well, in most cases, you're not doing anything any more incorrect than any of the rest of us. It's just what those numbers are.
Well, I'll tell you what people are doing wrong, and this report points it out. Varroa is yep. is the biggest problem. Far and away, varroa is the biggest problem. Commercial and sideline beekeepers reported that their losses, over 60% of their losses, were due to varroa. So it's, I mean, that kind of makes it pretty simple. Control varroa. And your losses are going to go down. Now, that means there's a lot of things that are involved in controlling varroa, not only timely applications, you know, raising bees that are resistant, and again, timely applications, measuring. How many varroa do you have in your colony, and what do you have to do to reduce that number? That's the pure and simple answer to all of this is control varroa, and a lot of this is going to go away.
Yep. Go ahead. I wanted to give the second point because I'm eager to hear the second point, too. Two big things keep us from thriving. Number one was varroa. What was number two?
Queen issues.
Queen issues.
Yep. From a commercial perspective, almost as bad as varroa. Queen issues cause colony losses or contributed to colony losses or contributed to weakening a colony so that it would, you know, it would die from something. But the queen issues were the challenge that made the colony weaker, especially commercial. Least of all, the hobby beekeepers had queen issues. And I suspect that that's probably because they're not doing lots of splitting and lots of, you know, all of the things that when you're managing a colony to replace all those numbers that you've lost,
yep,
you're not challenging the queens nearly as much.
Yep. So where can you find this information again now? Because we've talked about it, we've talked around it, we've talked all over it. Where can the listeners go to specifically get this information?
Hang on for a half a second. I got one more thing on queen issues is how many people replaced their queens last year? Half of the backyard people did. 99% of the commercial people did. So
half did?
Yep. Half replaced their queens on the backyard level. Probably 80% of the sideliners and 99% of the commercial people replaced their queens. Yet the losses reflect something else going on. So I don't know how you make sense of this. Now, I'll get back to your question. How do you get a hold of this report? And that link for this report is going to be on our webpage. It's going to be on the Beekeeping Today podcast webpage. And I'm going to bet that it'll be in the journals, the links to find all of this information, and certainly on the BIP webpage.
Well, I enjoy looking at it. Enjoy is an operative word there. I'm informed. I'm educated by looking at it. Sometimes it can be kind of revealing. I don't want to say shocking. But there it is. It's good read if you want to be a well-rounded, knowledgeable beekeeper.
Yeah, and maybe a lot more successful if you know going in what the problems you have to solve are to keep your bees alive and healthy.
Yep.
I want to say one other thing. Last Monday, Jeff Ott and I talked to BIP people about this very thing, and we looked at some of these questions that you and I have just brought up, and some of them we got answered and some of them we didn't. So if you want more information from the BIP people directly, tune into the Beekeeping Today podcast from last Monday.
Good. Good.
Have we worn this out? It's worn me out.
You know, when I stop talking, I'll think, well, we didn't bring that up. We didn't mention whatever, but hey, people, just have a look at the report when it comes out. Have a look at the preliminary report. We know you're out there. You wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't an energetic beekeeper. So go tune this in and check it out. It's good information.
And that's good advice. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Till next Thursday, Kim.
All right. Take it easy. Stay warm, by the way.
Stay warm. Yeah. That has not been a problem.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.